Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Friday, October 2nd. I'm Ray Graff. Now, ordinarily, for the past several years, this time on Friday, I welcome you to a Food Friday. That show is going away for a while, and I'll explain the reasons when we come back. At least through the election, Fridays we'll do a week in review program, and we'll talk about some of the big events and news stories of the week and take your calls and your opinions. Joining us today with her top five stories of the week, the New York Press Association's Judy Patrick, and providing context to all that is WAMC's Alan Shartok. If you have an opinion or a question you want to share, a lot of people want to get a lot off their chests at this time of year. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Judy Patrick, Alan Shartok, The Week in Review, coming up on Vox Pop. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, for the last several years, Friday Vox Pops have been Food Fridays. Not today. And there's two reasons, really, for that. Food Friday has been a little tough to do since we can't welcome guests and try the food in the studio. So we'll put Food Friday on hiatus for a little while, until things return to normal, and hopefully that will eventually happen. The other reason is it's been quite a while since we did an open forum on politics on Vox Pop. But based on the volume of email I see come into this station every day, a lot of people are itching to share their thoughts on things that are happening in the news. So let's do that. And we'll welcome our guests today to this Week in Review program. Judy Patrick is Vice President for Editorial Development for the New York Press Association. She works to support the work of journalists at the hundreds of daily and weekly newspapers across New York. For more than 40 years, she worked as a journalist at daily newspapers, leaving the Daily Gazette in Schenectady as editor-in-chief in 2018. And welcome to the program, Judy Patrick.
I am glad to be here, Ray. What a week it's been.
I'll tell you, it seems like the entire nation has been under a vice grip for some time now. Before we get to your top five, and you've done a great top five list of stories, let's welcome our other guest. He is our political observer here, Alan Shartok. Thank you for being here, sir.
Well, it is my pleasure. As you know, I've always thought I don't get enough time on the radio, and so this is...
Well, you know, you two, you and Judy, you spar quite a bit on the media project, so I hope you guys can keep it civil.
Well, if she will, I will, but, you know, I can never trust her to do that.
And here we go.
And tune in this week on Sunday, because we do have quite a debate about the coverage of the debate.
All right, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, a debate about debates.
Our number, if you'd like to join the fun, and we'll get to the phones here in a little bit, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And you could also email if you wish. We'll try to get to some of those. voxpop@wamc.org is the email address, but the number is 800-348-2551. So, Judy Patrick, you made the top five list. Up until yesterday, I thought, okay, debate's going to be right there. It was a train wreck on a number of different levels. And then something else happened. So let's go with your top five.
Yeah, you want me to start at one and work up or work backwards?
Well, geez, we've never done this before. It's up to you. Go
ahead. So, and in fact, for purposes of this, I should mention that I started my week on Monday. So I don't have the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett as Supreme Court Justice. I would have included her if my week started on Saturday, but it did not. So my number one story of the week is the president infected by a potentially deadly virus and all the ramifications that will pose. That is a monumental story. The intensity of that ratchets up significantly because this happens at a time when there's a pandemic affecting the whole world. It also ratchets up because it's a pandemic he's downplayed. Added to that is it's coming weeks before the election. And last but not least, it comes days after a horrendous presidential debate in which he was on stage with his opponent who he could have potentially have infected. We've received words so far today that former Vice President Joe Biden has tested negative, but that made us all even more worried.
It was a very interesting thing. And, Alan, I've been watching the email coming into the roundtable in the morning, and it surprises me, but maybe it shouldn't be surprising, that a number of people writing into the show say, oh, no, he doesn't have the COVID. This is all part of the plan. Alan.
Well, I think that people are really very upset with what's going on in this country, and I think in the state itself, we find, it's a very blue state, and we find an awful lot of people who are just so adamantly opposed to Trump and his behavior that, and the fact that he is a guy who tries to take your mind off one thing by putting it on another and to distract you. So I'm not surprised that we're getting that kind of mail. I truly believe he is one of the most despicable people I have ever heard about or from. And so, therefore, I'm not surprised.
All right. Number two on your list, Judy Patrick.
This is the New York Times investigation into President Trump's taxes. This was at the beginning of the week. I thought for sure this was going to be the number one story of the week. It's a major investigation into 20 years of taxes. As everyone will remember, he has not released his income tax statements. He has kept this a secret. He's gone to court to protect himself from revealing this. And it's incredibly significant details of his financial losses, his efforts to not pay taxes. It's all the conflicts of interest he's had with foreign nations, with companies that do business with the government, and as well as the fact that he's not a very good businessman at all. And this is going to have a long-term impact. The Times has promised that it's going to have more stories to come. And after Trump leaves office, whether it's in January this year or 4 years from now, these stories will come back and be part of the national conversation for years to come.
Of course, the defense that we've seen on some of the media outlets, Alan, hey, I'm just playing by the rules set out by the Obama administration regarding taxes. They haven't said I've done anything wrong, Alan.
Well, of course, nobody really does believe that. Here's a guy who paid $750, a self-confessed billionaire, or self-described billionaire who says that I'm only paying $750 and that's okay. And the reason I'm only paying $750, Ray and Judy, is because I'm smart. Now, think of all of us dummies who pay a lot more than that.
All right. By the way, the number, if you want to join in, and after we finish up Judy's top five, we'll take a quick break, and then we will hit the phones. The number is 800-348-2551 if you want to join in. By the way, if your number one story at home is not, in fact, on Judy's list, feel free to weigh in anyway. Judy, what's number three?
The worst debate ever.
Oh, you got that right.
That was Tuesday night, and I note that from a sheer spectacle point of view, it was unforgettable, and that we will remember this when we're old and on our rocking chairs on the front porch. So this would have been important, even if it was a boring, regular, run-of-the-mill debate between two people talking about issues, because presidential debates happen only once every 4 years. We're trying to choose the president of the country, but the disruption, it was... I was trying to. People refer to it as a food fight, a bar fight, my best analogy is it's like an explosion, a political explosion, and it's prompted all sorts of discussions about the future of the debates. And within the debate, let's not forget some of the more controversial things that the president said, including questioning whether or not he would abide by the election results and his statements about to the Proud Boys to stand by.
Alan, you've been watching debates since the Lincoln-Douglas debates. Have you ever seen anything like that?
Before. You know, Washington Adams, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, that was something, wasn't it?
It really was. I would take some exception, I think, to what my friend Judy had to say there, and that is that the implication is it was a food fight between two people who were equal. It wasn't. There was one guy, the president, who had decided not to play or abide by any of the rules of the debate and who kept attacking and attacking and attacking. Now, on a few occasions, Biden hit back. But for the most part, and I saw one thing on CNN where they did a little bit of content analysis, where over 70% of the talking over came from the president and not from Biden.
The other question is, will there be another debate? Now, since the news today is that the president stays healthy, is that a convenient out and say, hey, listen, we will not do a debate again?
Well, let's put it this way. He lost. Now, he knew he had to win that debate. because he, in many of these polls, he's 10 points behind. So he lost. And go ahead, Judy, please.
The Democratic team has put out a statement just a few minutes ago saying that they're amenable to the vice president debate continuing to happen on Tuesday, but they're calling for far more for the people to be farther apart and to everyone to promise to wear masks.
Okay.
So that may happen on Tuesday.
All right, we only got a couple of minutes here before we take a break. So, Judy, quickly, your 4 and 5 on your top five, and then we will go to the phones shortly.
Number 4 is the worldwide death cases of COVID surpass 1 million. And number 5 is election security, which is the continued attack on voting rights and the legitimacy of the election.
And we heard some rather pointed comments at the end of that debate from the president.
Yeah, and those were very scary to a lot of people when he would not say that he would accept it, and he kind of encouraged people to go to the voters, and I interpret that as he's trying to intimidate people from voting.
Alan.
Yes, whatever Judy said, what she said, I say yes.
All right, you know, I don't think you do that during the media project, but I'll take it now as a positive. All right, we'll take a quick break here. 800-348-2551 is the number. We're getting to the phones momentarily. It is a week in review with Judy Patrick and Alan Shartok and you at 800-348-2551. We'll be right back with the calls. Vox Pop on WAMC, Ray Graff here. The number is 800-348-2551. It is a week in review program today with the New York Press Association's Judy Patrick and WAMC's Alan Shartok. And before we get to the phones, some breaking news from Ian Pickus.
Hey, I think your instincts about doing a news show instead of a food show today made some sense here. Just in the last couple of minutes, popping in from the newsroom, the Monroe County DA, Sandra Dorley, has announced an indictment against Mayor Lovely Warren of Rochester after an investigation into alleged campaign finance violations. Allegations that Warren and workers on her 2017 re-election campaign and a PAC that she created, illegally coordinated activities, have circulated for years. The indictment today follows a 35-page report from State Board of Elections investigators earlier this year, finding considerable evidence that Lovely Warren and associates took steps to intentionally evade limits on campaign donations. We'll have more on this on Northeast Report at 3:30.
Thank you very much, Ian. We appreciate that. The number here on Vox Pop is 800-348-2551. We're recounting some of the big stories of the week with the New York Press Association's Judy Patrick and WAMC's Alan Shartok. Time to go to the phones. Now, as Alan can tell you, whenever politics and world events are talked about on this program, it can get a little uproarious. So with that in mind, just a couple of ground rules for callers on today's show. Please refrain from yelling, name-calling, or swearing. I think the country has seen an awful lot of yelling and name-calling in the public square over the last several years, and I'm frankly sick of it. Swearing I'm okay with, but the FCC is not. So if you swear or you make a scene or you stamp your feet, I got an 8-second delay and then you're gone. So just be civil, that's all. And the other thing is try to keep your call to one major thought or point. Well, once we get rolling here, the lines will be really loaded. You only get a minute, maybe two, to make your point before we move to the next caller. So stay on message, and we will try to get to as many calls as possible. The number here is 800-348-2551. And we start out with David in New Paltz. David.
Yes, Alan, how are you today?
And we're all good.
I am a staunch Democrat, and so have my parents and grandparents. And I'm about your age, if not maybe a little bit older. And for the first time in my life, I'm considering voting for Trump and going Republican. And I'll tell you why. Because so much was done good for Israel and the Jewish people during the Trump administration and the Biden administration. In order to get the Black Lives Matter, has put the Jewish vote under the tracks. I mean, at his convention, he said, "We're all in it together, the blacks, the whites, the Christians, the Muslims." No mention of Jews. No mention of the of Israel. No mention of the fact that the Jewish community supported Obama and him throughout all of his administration. And the only advantage came during the Trump administration by making Jerusalem the capital of Israel and bringing our embassy there and things of that nature.
All right,
and,
David.
Also, one other thing, that there were a lot of Jewish lives lost to assassination by right-wing groups, and not one word was mentioned of Jewish lives mattering.
All right, so David, let's let Alan and Judy comment on that, and we thank you for the call. Alan, go ahead.
Well, I think Judy is the prime guest today. We can go to her first. I can only say I am Jewish. And I don't agree with you at all.
All right.
I think we have a Jewish ethic in this country, and I'm very proud of it. And it is not about making one place the capital of Israel. Believe me, it has to do with our treatment of everybody. I'm sorry. That's what I have to say. I just don't agree.
Judy.
Yeah, I think everybody's vote counts. The people often refer to the Jewish vote, but I tend to not look at people as one vote. You know, just because you're a particular religion, you're going to vote one way or the other. So, if that's how he feels about how he should vote, you know, he's got his right to vote.
All right, let's go to Jesse and Troy. Jesse, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about the debate format. And you know, I think everybody fairly universally was disgusted by what we saw on Tuesday. And it seems like a real easy fix to me to just cut off their microphones. It's not like we can't technologically do it. Just cut them on and off and on and off, and then you'd actually get to hear people talk. And I think that for a long time, you know, networks wanted the brawl. That was like something that they thought would drive up ratings or, you know, that people wanted to see. But I think we're all over it. And I think that it's a real easy fix, and I'm not sure why it's not happening.
Well, Judy Patrick, you follow these things fairly closely. The Election Commission has been looking at some rule changes. What have you heard?
Right. And in fact, so both sides have to agree to whatever changes the Election Commission, the Presidential Election Commission, comes up with. And the Trump campaign yesterday came out and said, we're not agreeing to any changes. And one of the issues was early on is that they wouldn't allow mics to be cut off. The campaign commission was suggesting that they could cut off the mics if people were not following the rules. But again, the president's team has come out already. They've already said, we're not agreeing to any changes.
All right. Alan.
And let me just follow that up by saying, look, this is a tough thing and a tough time. Clearly, Trump knows that if he doesn't win these debates, he can't win. He's 10 points behind in most polls. He's behind in all, I believe, of the states that made the difference the last time, that made that crucial difference. And so his philosophy was to cause as much chaos in the debate as he possibly could. And so what I'm seeing is, of course, the fact that what are they going to do? They're going to put a guy with the COVID on the same stage. They can't do that. Now, in terms of shutting off the microphones, that now gives to the moderator or to whoever's doing that the possibility of being accused of being one-sided. And we know what the one side was. It was Trump who kept doing all the interrupting.
Right. They could do like a Zoom meeting, but neither side's going to agree to that. And I'm not sure how much people are going to tune into a Zoom meeting between Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Well, they may have to do a Zoom meeting at this rate. We'll see what happens. But
I don't think the Biden people would really object to that. Anything that's a fair fight, I think the Biden people would probably like, as opposed to letting this bully loose.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. The Week in Review with Alan Shartok and Judy Patrick today on the program. Once again, 800-348-2551. Jay in Albany. Jay, you're on.
Hello, folks. You know, I, too, am concerned about the future of debates. Presidential debates, I think, are an important institution. I'd like to hear your recommendations. My idea is to arm the moderator with a stun gun. I think you could put it on a low phase, and I think that would be workable. I'd like to really, if they do that, I'd love to see that thing on Agent Orange's head. My theory is that it's a living creature. It did cost $70,000 to keep that alive over the past year. So I want to see what happens to that thing. I definitely believe that the interest in the debates would be at an all-time high. Interest in politics would be incredible if we could have that situation.
All right.
So what are your theories?
All right, let's go to Judy Patrick.
All right. Well, in my ideal world, what I would love to have seen would be Chris Wallace sitting one-on-one with Joe Biden for 90 minutes and asking Chris Wallace quality questions. And then in a separate interview, 90 minutes with Donald Trump with Chris Wallace asking Chris Wallace quality questions, because he does ask good questions. I think that kind of conversation will really bring home what the issues are and let people see who these people are who are running for the highest office in the land.
Alan.
I think we saw who they were. I think we saw who they were. Look, if you're the producer of on CNN or MSNBC or Fox, that is what's going to get the bodies in the room. So while it makes all kinds of sense, and while frankly it's been done, in other words, these guys have been interviewed and people either ignore it or something. But now you get 60, 70, 80,000 people watching at once. That's a gold mine for these producers.
Jay, thanks a lot for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Judy Patrick from the New York Press Association is with us, and WAMC's Alan Shartok as we review some of the big stories of the week, and you're welcome to weigh in with your thoughts. Glenn in Rotterdam. Glenn.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to make a comment about the Tuesday night debate. I'm not a physician, but if the president was having symptoms, could that be why his behavior seemed like he was just regurgitating everything he said 4 years ago or whatever? I mean, we did have a debate in Rotterdam here back in the 80s on WMHT for a town supervisor, and his town supervisor actually died on the air.
I remember that.
So I'm just wondering, do you think he was ill at the time?
First Judy.
You know, I remember that debate in Rotterdam, but people who afterwards have said, who know, who have been in events with Donald Trump, say that that is how he is, that there was not a significant change in his behavior. And if you've gone to a rally or if you listen to any transcript or outtakes from the rally, it is generally how he talks and how he presents himself. And in fact, his advisors said they had encouraged him to go in and be aggressive, and they applauded the fact that he came across as so aggressive. So he looked a little sweaty to me, but the lights there were probably pretty bright as well.
All right. Well, Glenn, thank you very much. Alan, you want to weigh in on that?
Sure. What Judy said is right. What Freud said is right. Freud said character is developed from the time you're about 2 years old or 3 years old, and that's your character for life. And if what we heard on in the debate was any different from what we're used to with this guy, I would say, yeah. But we all knew what was going to happen, and it happened. That's his character.
It is Vox Pop today. No Food Friday for a while, and maybe after the election, if things calm down, we can get some people in the studio, we'll bring that back. But for now, on Fridays, we will have a week in review. And today we're joined by Judy Patrick and Alan Shartok. And you can join the fun at 800-348-2551. Ray in Ulster. Ray, you're up.
Hey, how you guys doing? I listen every morning, and thank you so much for all the great topics.
Oh, thanks.
I remember 1968. And I thought that was a bad year with the assassination of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. And the country was in an uproar and riots in the streets. I'm seeing that now, you know. So, you know, what do you think? Do you think that we're back where 20 years ago, or what do you think?
Okay, Judy, I'm sorry. You go first.
I think about it as well. But our country survived the Great Depression, World War I, World War II, the Civil War. I mean, we have encountered tough times before. I think 1968 was a very bad year. I think when we were in the middle of it, I don't think all of us realized how quite how bad it was. A global pandemic, I mean, with 200,000 and more Americans dying, it is an incredible year. And we still have, 3 months left. God help us.
Hey, Judy, are you sharing my general opinion that I'll be very happy when 2020 is in the rearview mirror?
You know, yeah. I think everybody can't believe. I mean, do you remember back in January we had an impeachment, and it seems like a paltry thing at this point.
It seemed like a long time ago. Alan.
Well, if you guys think that if we, it all depends how this ends up. If this ends up rearview mirror, as you just said, Ray, and we're back to some semblance of an American Republican democracy, great. But if we end up with a fascist totalitarian state, which is what I believe Donald Trump has been showing he wants, then this could be the worst year ever since the beginning. You know, George Washington warned us about characters like Trump. He did. And I think that we have to be very, very careful, because this could be the end of the America we know.
Well, that's
wow. I guess I do need to take a slug of bourbon.
Yeah. Okay. Well. All right. If I had one in my desk, I'd be reaching for it now. Let's go to Melinda in Cheshire. Melinda, you're on.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about what that person was saying about what's good for Jews and stuff. Many Jews in this country now are realizing that their best bet is anti-racism and Black Lives Matter, because we realize that this is the same kind of stuff that they put us through. And this fascism, any group that's anti-fascist is going to be on our side, is going to be against racism. And I just think that to think that bolstering up a fascist guy in Israel is not the way to go. It's much better to get down with the people who are against racism right here. And I'm very proud of all the Jews that signed on in support of Black Lives Matter. My sign for support of Black Lives Matter has been stolen twice out the front of my house. And if this country, people are not interested in real debate. People don't want to hear different sides. When I see Trump signs all over the place, I want to spit on them. I want to take them off the road too. But I don't, because it's a democracy. They have a right to put up their sign. I have a right to put up my sign, but they don't want to hear what we have to say. And that Chris Wallace making a big deal of, he, you know, bringing up Antifa as though it's a real terrorist group, that's not gonna, that's crazy. Antifa is a theory. It's a philosophy. Anti-racism. There is nothing wrong with anti-racism. The people who are doing violence in these demonstrations, these are not Antifa. This is not the Black Lives Matter people. These are people that are either lost souls or just very angry because riots. The real violence is police violence killing Black people. If they want to be, you know, same thing with the the right to life. What happened to the right of life for all these kids that are being put in cages, you know, because their parents dragged them over the line down there? So right. I'm just a little bit, I think people need to pay more attention to this.
Melinda, thanks for a great call. Thanks. Judy, do you want to comment?
Well, I think that there's a lot of racism in the United States, and people have to identify it and recognize it. And we have a reckoning in this country. We need to come together, and we need to do a lot of education going forward. It's something the media can contribute to, but she's not wrong at all. I mean, it's something we all need to acknowledge.
Alan.
I like the call.
All right, let's take one more call, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll hit the home stretch at 800-348-2551. Sam in Sharon, Connecticut. How are things in Sharon today, Sam?
Well, you know, the sun came out, it's a beautiful fall day.
Good.
And you know, we're going to be fine. My youngest daughter is 32. She's kind of a genius because she teaches language, and she does this thing. You know, she decided not to go back teaching and decided to do this online program. Anyway, she watched the debates, and what a week. You're talking about this past week. I listen to you every morning, Alan, Judy. I love you guys. Thank you so much. But she said the most striking thing, and I couldn't have watched that, the S show that went on. I heard about it.
Thank you for not swearing. I appreciate it.
Oh, yes. No, I respect what you're doing, and thank you, Ray.
You bet.
So, you know, she said he looked at the camera, and she got this, that everything's going to be okay. And it is going to be okay. After we vote this guy back to oblivion, which is where he belongs, we'll make it through. We've been through tough times.
All right.
Thank you. And George Washington knew for sure why to look out for this.
Sam, thanks a lot. And let's take a break on that note. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's the Week in Review with the New York Press Association's Judy Patrick and WAMC's Alan Chartok. Still a line open here at 800-348-2551. Up there it goes. When you hear somebody hang up, that's what would be your time to call. It may not get through. Let's take a break. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551, the Week in Review here with Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, and let's see, who has been waiting here?
You know, Ray, while we're waiting, we could spend 1 minute responding to the last call. And I have to say, I'm scared to death. I really am. And here's why. Who are Trump's best friends? Putin, Duterte, you name them. He hasn't had a bad word to say about Putin during this entire time. And now we know he owes all of this money to someone. Anybody want to guess who that is? In any case, we do know that there's a lot riding on this election for Trump. In fact, there's a good deal of talk about the legal process being, you know, the potential for his being indicted after he leaves office. Now, what I'm thinking is he'll do anything to stay as president. And when I say anything, I mean anything. And he will destroy our electoral system to do it. And so he's already casting doubt on people's right to vote. He's trying to make sure that there aren't all of the facilities that people would want, including voting by mail. And I am concerned that this country might be all right in the end. But it might not be, depending on whether he gets away with it.
All right, so you're definitely leaning toward the pessimistic view of things, which
no,
is not
I'm
surprising.
I'm leaning towards the idea that if he has his way, it could be a disaster.
Judy Patrick?
Yeah, I agree with Alan, but I tend to be a Pollyanna of sorts who hopes that good journalism will win out, and that our institutions, which I admit have been corrupted over the last 4 years, but I am hoping that people of good moral character will step forward at some point. I know they haven't yet, Alan, I know, but there's always hope.
All right, well, let's hope that Gina in Saratoga is of good moral character. Gina, you're on.
Hi, this is Gina from Saratoga.
Right.
For me personally, the most painful aspect of Trump's time in office now has been my faith in fellow Americans. I just really don't understand how people can watch and see what he does and says and actually want to vote for someone like that. I mean, he's made sexist comments towards women from day one. Now that has gone to making racist comments by his comment of stand down and stand by. You know, you really have to look at the whole picture as to what he's done to America in the last 4 years and not base your vote on just one topic like gun control or right to life. I mean, look at where we are. We are so divided and we're fighting each other. And it's just not what I believe America should be at this point, you know?
Judy Patrick.
It's true that a lot of people are one-issue voters, and the idea of getting the Supreme Court packed with people who are would overturn Roe versus Wade is an important issue for a lot of Republicans, and that they will overlook all sorts of atrocities for that goal. It's been one of the remarkable aspects of this of the last 4 years.
Alan.
We are in
wouldn't
a race.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could?
Go ahead, Gina.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could actually have four Supreme Justices that are on the right and four that are on the left? So you have eight people that are actually intelligent enough to come up with a compromise. And that's how the Supreme Court should be run. You know, actually make it even so we can actually have an honest, intelligent discussion and work things out instead of loading it on one end, loading it on the other end. It just appalls me. It really does.
Well, Gina, thank you for the call. Alan, speaking of the Supreme Court, what did you make of the fact that Joe Biden was fairly resolute about not answering the question about whether he, in fact, would pack the court?
Well, we do know what happened to Franklin Delano Roosevelt when he tried to pack the court. He was a very popular president. He was elected so overwhelmingly and everything, but people didn't like it. They didn't think it was fit playing fair. And they knew that the guys who were on that court at that time were not doing what Roosevelt wanted them to. So so if I'm Biden, I'm saying this is something I don't want to talk about. Now, the idea of having a 9-person Supreme Court was that you wouldn't have, a split court every single time. And I think that that's one of the reasons that it is the way that it is right now. Not only that, it presupposes there's right on both sides, and there isn't. I mean, if you look at a Clarence Thomas and some of what he's said, and that's been very little, and some of the other right-wingers on the court, who would want to say it's important that we split this down the middle from a political point of view? It doesn't make any sense to me. And by the way, the last thing I don't understand, and there are lots of things I don't understand, is how anybody at this stage of the game in this country could be saying that Donald Trump is a wonderful man and I'm going to vote for him.
All right, getting back to my original question, Judy, do you think that it may have been a tactical error for Joe Biden not to have answered that question and being fairly obvious about the fact he said, I don't want to make this about my answer? Well, it's a debate, isn't it? Aren't you supposed to answer?
No, I thought it was politically shrewd not to answer questions. In fact, that's one of the things politicians do all the time is politically shrewdly not answer questions because he had little to gain and everything to lose by an answer one way or the other. There are certain things you don't go into. He obviously thought long and hard about it before he said anything like that. So I thought it was politically shrewd.
All right. Gerard in New Paltz, you're on.
Good afternoon. I have several comments here.
We got a minute maybe to two, so keep...
Okay, I'll make it quick.
Okay.
I'll make it quick, Ray.
Right. You bet.
Okay. Trump was a spectacle. He acted like a childhood bully. So as the microphones go, if they can't shut, the moderator can't shut somebody down, by the commission rules that, Biden should refuse to debate. I'd like to know, Alan, you might have an answer, what happened with the meeting that Trump had with five pharmaceutical execs? And lastly, as far as Trump goes with the CV, what goes around comes around. Thank you.
When Trump ran the first time, he said it was a great shame the way that pharmaceutical prices were being set in America, and he was going to put a stop to that. One of the great lies of the campaign, because now he's best friends with those guys.
That's what I thought.
I don't think there's any question about that.
All right, Gerard, thanks. Judy, you want to weigh in?
No, I just the one thing I would want to say is he mentioned during the debate that the cost of insulin was down to the cost of water or something, which is one of the dozens of lies he told during the debate. The cost of insulin is still fairly high.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's the Week in Review, and Judy Patrick joins us from the New York Press Association as well as WAMC's Alan Shartok. David is in Rensselaerville. David, you're on.
Hi, yeah, I was out here harvesting my potatoes, but when that gentleman called about, by the way, I'm half Jewish, when he called about being for Trump, he should know that Jared Kushner and his family, who own 666 Park Avenue, had $1 billion of interest that they owed. And miraculously, they came up with it, and supposedly it's from the Saudis. But anyway, right now, Jared's in the middle of selling the Saudis 4 nuclear reactors in the guise of business for GE or whoever's going to sell them the turbines. I think it's GE. Who do they think that plutonium, you know, who does he think that plutonium is going to be used, what's that plutonium going to be used for? It'll be used for bombs, and for who? Against Israel. So he should know that even Jared isn't really thinking about his people, but his own pocketbook, just like his father-in-law. So if he wants to vote for him, go right ahead.
All right, David. Judy, what do you think?
Well, I never thought Jared Kushner was the best guy to put in charge of bringing peace to the Middle East. And for the record, I don't think he's done that at this point. He's carved out the Palestinians significantly. So he's not the guy that I would have named.
All right. Alan, you want to comment before we go to the next call?
No, I've been pretty plain on that one.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Rob in Woodstock. Rob, you're on.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to talk about voter suppression. It's scary with the rhetoric that Trump has been putting out there about voter fraud and with the mail-in ballots. I mean, with the small percentage of actual voter fraud that goes on, it just seems that since he's, you know, a known bully and liar, when if and when he loses, hopefully, it's just a way for him to do what all bullies do is cry and stamp his feet and try to hold everything up until he gets his way. So I'm just going to hang up and listen to your comments.
All right, Rob.
Thanks for the program.
Thanks for the call. Judy Patrick.
You know, this is an amorphous story, because it's hard to pin down because it's happening at each individual state. And so there's a number of different stories. They tend to get overlooked. But in Texas, you had the governor limiting the number of drop-off election boxes to 1. In Pennsylvania, they're talking about creating a committee to oversee the election results. There are things happening at every state. And there are more than 300 lawsuits pending about how votes are going to be counted. So it's a really important issue. But again, it's like nailing jelly to the wall. It's hard to keep track of, and it's hard for the electorate to know what's going on.
I'm sorry, Judy. You can't mention nailing jelly to the wall. It's not Food Friday. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're going to say no to that.
I thought she said Jerry to the wall, and I was wondering who Jerry was.
All right, Michael at Albany, you're on. Go ahead.
Hello. First, thank you so much for continuing to bring us this wonderful program.
Oh, thanks.
My question for Alan and Judy. What I'm interested in your take or your first impression or expectations on what you think we might hear or we can expect from the Harris-Pence debate, assuming that it comes off. And a second part of that question is, do you think that we'll see or hear something that reflects back on the presidential debate, whether it's something that changes because of or in spite of it? Thank you.
Judy Patrick, these don't really swing the meter too much, right?
You know, they don't. But in terms of substantial content, I think this will be a real debate. I'm looking forward to, in terms of theatrics, we're all going to be disappointed. We're not going to see the theatrics we saw before. But I think that all the issues that came up, all the things that the president said, I think Kamala Harris is going to bring them up. I think it'll be a real debate people will be looking forward to. But again, yeah, you're right. They've never really made much of an impact, except when one of the candidates really falls flat. If you remember when
Potato.
Hillary Clinton, they kind of fall. One candidate or the other can fall flat, but it doesn't really affect the race.
Alan,
well, let's face it. The vice president is going to be obsequious. He's going to do what he's always done. Pardon me.
Are you okay? You want a lozenge? You all right?
No. I better take a swig of club soda here.
Fine.
No, I think what's going to happen is the vice president's going to be obsequious. He's going to say, as the president says. That's what's going to happen. This is a time, I know a lot of people have been waiting for this, for Kamala to show her stuff. And I think she will. She's a terrific debater. She's somebody who knows how to call out the other guys. And I think on this one, for a lot of reasons. The Harris people are in much better shape than the Pence people. But Pence will be, quiet, but he will continue to do what he's always done, talk about how great this president is. And since the president is unpopular in the country now, it won't help him.
Judy, what I saw was, and it may be wrong, maybe it was amended, that the ratings were not all that good for the first presidential debate. Will anybody be watching the vice presidential debate?
Yeah, and in fact, I think about 10 million fewer people watched this presidential debate than they watched the debates 4 years ago. And a lot of people were so turned off by the presidential debate that I think that if Trump and Biden go at it again, those numbers will go down as well. And again, people are not expecting the fireworks from Kamala Harris. Although I can tell you that my husband's actually looking really forward to the vice president debate because he does think that Harris will bring a certain level of
vigor.
Vigor to the debate. Yeah. So I think that. A lot of people got turned off by last week's debate, and a lot of people are talking maybe they won't even vote, and that is the real shame of that.
All right, we have time. Oh, go ahead, Alan.
Ray, very quickly, you make a very good point. If 10 million fewer people watched, that may give us a pretty good hint as to what might happen in the election. And who those 10 million people are become very important. And they very well may be the people who voted for Trump on a lark last time and who this time aren't going to vote at all.
Okay.
That's
well, of course,
my theory.
That is exactly that. That is a theory. Now, we only have about a minute and a half left here. So I remind our guests and our callers that when you hear Count Basie start to play, the show's about over. So wrap it up. Let's go to Jason and Keenan. Jason, you're on.
Oh, hey, you got to me.
Yep.
I'm just calling in specifically. I think there was a missed opportunity for the Democrats when the new Supreme Court was nominated. Help me figure this out, or rather, tell me what you think about them just accepting the nomination, voting on it like they would any other, and putting out a statement saying basically, this is the norm, we're going to respect the norm, unlike the Republicans, because they can't really do anything to block it anyways.
I think there's a great deal they could have done to block it, to be honest with you, and they could have really caused holy hell. And unfortunately, I agree with you. They could have done more, and they're not. We were supposed to have Chuck Schumer on today for half an hour. I was going to interview him right about now. And he called up. I understand why. This is everybody's going to want a piece of him today in terms of the COVID.
So he stood
what's
you up.
Going
huh?
on with the president.
Oh, well,
yeah, well, they said they'd be there next week. We'll believe it when we see it, as the old saying goes.
All right, Judy Patrick. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Alan,
I've always thought. I've always felt Schumer could be doing a hell of a lot more as a leader right now.
Judy Patrick, you get final word on this. Go ahead.
So I think the Democrats are pushing the ball down the field as far as they can for as long as they can, and you never know what can happen. Perhaps there will be enough of an infection in the Senate that they actually won't be able to get together and hold the hearings and vote before the election. So there might be something to the strategy of just delay, delay, delay.
Well, that was perfect
timing.
If they can. Judy Patrick and Alan Shartok, thank you both for being here. We are done, and well done both. Have a great weekend, okay?
You as well.
Well done, callers.
All right, fair enough. Support comes from Pioneer Valley Food Tours, Northampton, Massachusetts, offering food tours at more, highlighting local food producers and their seasonal specialties, pioneervalleyfoodtours.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world, spirithaus.com. At Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, pekarskys.com. Once again, thanks to Judy Patrick and Alan Shartok for being here today. Thank you for listening. Really great calls, and I got to tell you, we didn't get to, there are 10 people on the line now. I apologize. We'll do the best we can and try to get you in there next time. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Charlene Knight took the calls. Our producer's Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. We're back on the show on Monday at 2. That's a medical Monday. We'll discuss oncology with Dr. Tia Olds. Have a terrific weekend. Be safe out there. Stand by now for the best of our knowledge.